Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 235 of Nerd Pride Radio. 235 is the number of miles flown by Kent Couch in his helium balloon lawn chair device in Oregon in 2008. Thank you, Kyle.
How do you control a lawn chair?
You don't. It goes up, and then I believe he had a pellet gun with him to shoot balloons in order to bring him back down. So there you go. I mean, it's
235 miles.
The winds were good that day. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
Ask me with more enthusiasm. Fine. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven of the kinds of nerd they only wish I was nerdy enough to be. Fortunately, I have Aiden here, and he makes up about four or five of those, because he's super nerdy. Plus, you're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week, the place we go every week, to hate wrong about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in our collective skulls anymore. My co-host this week is all 450 snakes used on the set of Snakes on a Plane. I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. My favorite quote ever.
Were there really 450 snakes used on set?
Yes, they're supposed to represent like 35 or 50 species of snakes, and they had something like 450 total snakes is the estimate that they have. And they only ever had about 60 snakes on set at any one moment, because apparently snakes get tired really easy. It is tough to have that many active snakes all at once. So, but yeah, they estimated about 450. I was hoping it was closer to, like, our current episode number, so that, like, you know, in a few episodes I could go, 270, that's the number of snakes they get, but it's 450.
You couldn't have waited 215 episodes.
Like, I'm gonna remember in 215 episodes. That's 4.5 years, dude, if we keep doing them. I mean, good lord, that's a long time.
Why would we ever stop?
Well, maybe we slow down. Maybe we switch to a different format. Maybe I get killed in a horrible threshing accident, and then nothing ever...
You know what? Instead of doing a fact, you should just do all the episode numbers from here on out in Roman numerals and let the audience figure it out.
You know, okay, wait, it wasn't a threshing accident. It was in the episode of the original series of Star Trek, when they go back to the 60s through time travel, and they're trying to explain Spock's ears. And Kirk's explanation is, yeah, it's a farming accident. He got him caught in a rice picker. So that's why Spock had pointed ears. It's really stupid. Anyway, all right, I guess it's just me that entertains. All right, before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, which is not terribly meticulously plotted this week.
Might not actually be meticulously plotted at all.
Well, maybe, we'll see. But before that, I have an update. Just last week, I mentioned that I boiled my toe and that, you know, it was really
delicious.
Gruesome and ugly. I just want to, my update is that, hey, my toe's doing pretty good. I mean, it's not completely healed. You know, there's a little bit of a scab on it. A little spot. But the rest of it looks like a normal toe, except it's really, really pink. But other than that, I think I'm going to be fine. So, thank God for modern medicine. All right. Now for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and Aiden where we talk about whatever has been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy, busy weeks. We write it down in our master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
Straight into it. First up, we'll do a little gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on our gaming table, then we're here to share it with you. I actually don't want to say too much about Godball. We did a playtest just a couple of days ago, and the only thing I want to say about Godball is that I had a moment in this particular game of Godball. This is the game that Dave and I are designing together, a board game about gods playing rugby. And in this one, my hero, Atalanta, all right, I should preface this by saying that in our game of Godball, we have discovered that it is a lot easier most of the time for the heroes to simply throw the ball into the goal. That is the way most people score points, is they just throw the ball into the goal. It's a lot simpler to do, and it keeps you kind of in position to pick it up for the next round and all this. It is much harder to actually manually run the ball down by hand and actually deliver it to the goal in person. So we're thinking that maybe you should get more points for that, because it's a much harder thing, and it leaves you way out of the field for a couple of moves. And so it was really fun in this particular playtest, where my hero, Atalanta, went running across the field. She took a couple of big steps and jumped on top of a mountain. And then I happened to have a card in my hand from Zeus that allows me to just roll that mountain across the field. And so she surfed the mountain all the way down to the goal and scored. It was mountain surfing, people. And that...
Wait, if you move a terrain tile while you're on it, you get to move with it?
If the card says you can, and this one did, and it even specifically said that, you know, if a hero is on the mountain at the time, they get to ride with it. If you're holding the god ball, you're going to have to pay a couple extra points to maintain control of the god ball. So I happen to have the points on me, so I did. And it was really cool. And the whole point is, when we first conceived of this game, when Dave and I were just brainstorming in the car on the way to Gen Con, this is what we were imagining. This is what we were dreaming of, is the idea of this epic feel of heroes and titans, gods, clashing on the field of rugby and having, you know, dropping mountains on people, you know, lightning storms, horrible monsters interfering. And so the idea of getting to jump down there and go mountain surfing just was phenomenal. It was really... It's like, yeah, this is what we do. And every game or two, we have exactly that sort of experience where, you know, someone suddenly raises a whole slew of mountains, or somebody, like, man, even in this game, I think it was Dan, Dave's brother, who suddenly raised up, the labyrinth, which I did not realize when we made the labyrinth how powerful this thing was. It's like this huge series of interlocking hexes. And now you can move into them and you can move around freely inside them. But getting out, it cost you. It cost you a lot. And it was, it really shaped how the game moved, and it was really cool. So anyway, Godball is so much fun. I cannot wait for this thing to be ready, for real publication. Like, I mean, we keep saying we want to do a playtest at next year's Gen Con, but that's just over a year away. That's 13 months from now. Man, that feels so long. Maybe we do something faster than that, but I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't matter. It's all cloud talk right now. Right now, we're just getting a good game going. All we want to do is create a good board game, and I think we've done that. Now it's fine-tuning it. You know, we've still got some stuff to work on. We haven't... Anyway, it's awesome, though. Also, the other thing is, this is another gaming table. My brother suggested an app for the phone called Cribbage with Grandpas. And apparently, it's really just me and my brother who are super excited about this, because I keep telling people about it, and nobody else is excited about Cribbage with Grandpas, but I'm telling you, it is so much fun. It is, look, I love Cribbage to start with, and if you don't know Cribbage, it's a weirdly complicated little card game. It's meant for just for two people, generally, and it is, like, strangely complicated, but once you get the rules down, it's tons of fun. There's a real strategy to it, plus a lot of luck because it's cards. And it's just a blast. And so since I don't have people to play cribbage with in general, because again, I seem to be the only one super excited about it, I tried out cribbage with Grandpa's on my brother's recommendation, and it's great. You design yourself a grandpa, give him a name, design your grandpa, and then he sits down and he plays cribbage with you, and he's awesome. And, you know, you get to give him a personality, so is you got nerdy grandpa, you got grumpy grandpa, you got whatever. So I've got my grandpa is Balo, my Hispanic grandpa, and he is kind but firm, and when we play, he's very encouraging, and he's very nice to me as we play along, and like I know it's just a phone app that's giving me pre-programmed responses to stuff, but you know, when I make a good play, he's like, "Wow, that's a good hand of cards. Oh, thanks, Balo, I appreciate that." So, you know, it's just bizarre. So that is Cribbage with Grandpa. If you have any vague interest in cribbage at all, it's a $2.99 app on your phone, and it is totally worth your time. So, that's what I've been playing. So you got any gaming table stuff? I've been dominating the talk here for 7 minutes. So, wow. All right. Cool. Well, then in that case, let's do a little fingertips.
Fingertips. Fingertips. Fingertips.
You have got to stop doing that. I'm just going to edit this whole section out. We're not even going to hear that because it creeps people out, dude. That's why I don't play the closing fingertips music. I only play the happy banjo redneck beginning fingertips music. That's the good stuff.
I disagree.
Fingertips is just segments that we don't have fully fleshed out or developed, but we still want to talk about anyway. For example, my son Eli got his wisdom teeth out this week, and the two interesting things about that were, one, we take him in, they take him back to the back, they've got him hooked up to the IV, everything's ready, and then, I mean, out of nowhere, lightning storm. Like the rain just starts pouring down, lightning everywhere. It's, you know, like 8 in the morning at this point. And the power goes out. And so we had to wait. They had to delay his wisdom teeth removal until, I mean, even though the power came right back on, they wanted to wait until after the lightning had passed. So we had to wait around 45 extra minutes to get his teeth out. But it felt very much like a Frankenstein movie. The idea of we could just picture him in the back there. He's on the he's in the chair. He's got the needle in his arm. He's getting all prepped up for surgery, and the lightning storm's going on in the background. And so clearly, this was going to reanimate the dead tissue of his wisdom teeth. I don't know what was going on. But anyway, odd picture in my head. But the other thing that happened with that is we got to give him a lesson about drugs, because they gave him some pain medicine that was really good, and hydrocodone. And after the first dose of that, he's like, "Wow, this feels really good. I can't do this." Because it feels too good. And so, we got to go through the whole explanation of, yeah, well, that's why people get hooked on drugs, is because it does feel that good. But, you know, especially with the hydrocodone and that kind of stuff, and you're going to wind up, you know, if you take it at this level, you know, for the next 2-3 weeks, then eventually it's going to get to the point where you don't feel anything when you take it. And then people have to take more and more. And he's like, "Well, then how do they get a hold of it?" Well, then you have to do illegal things like steal prescriptions and stuff. Anyway, it was a whole anti-drug conversation.
How
about
you teach him how to get drugs?
I wasn't teaching him how. He wanted to know how it happens.
I just taught him how to perform illegal actions.
I didn't give him a step-by-step on stealing a doctor's prescription pad and learning to forge his signature. He can figure that out on his own. But Eli is the kind of guy who he very much likes, he likes being in control, and therefore the idea that these, even though it felt really good, the idea that they put him not in control, really bothered him. So, we'll see how that turns out. Wow! How did you design a monkey over there?
It's no monkey, it's a frog!
Oh my gosh, a white frog?
It'll be green in a minute!
What game are you in?
Dark Souls.
Noah's over there designing a character for Dark Souls, and
his name is Kim T. Frog.
And they have this bit with lots of video games. If you're allowed to really customize your character, my kids work really hard at designing the ugliest possible character. And this one looks very much, to me, it looks like a white ape of some sort.
It's got a horn!
But, yeah, apparently it's a horned frog. They just haven't colored it green yet. Ugh.
I haven't colored it green.
That is terrifying. Terrifying. That's, as I just turn my head, that's what I catch out of the corner of my eye. Aiden, you got anything for fingertips, as long as we're in the segment? Anything from this week you wanted to talk about? You're just here to be my Ed McMahon? You're just support?
Yeah.
Ah, you're awesome that way. Okay.
I didn't ask to be born.
Well, then, in that case,
damn it!
That's right. It is time for the pod-o-matic. All right, you're coughing. Just covered up R2. You hold on. There we go. There, that's a little bit better. And our first number. Oh wait, first hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. Whew! At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, and I will add it to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. Oh, thank goodness. My brother Kyle sent me a bunch of brand new Podomatics this week.
How many?
A dozen or so.
Oh, Ronster's still winning?
And so I then went in and I looked and saw, oh, well, it looks like Ronster needs another 6 added in. And so I added in more for Ronster, and then the number changed the wrong way. And I'm like, oh, no, it wasn't saying that Ronster needed another 6. It was saying that Ronster was still over by 6. So now I've really overloaded Ronster. Because apparently, Ron just hasn't been coming up, even though he owns a third of the list. We haven't had very many questions in the last few weeks.
If the pattern keeps up, he'll own the entire list.
That's what happened to Zimny once. So, Zimny at one point owned like 80% of the list, and so I had to have an entire Zimny week with nothing but Zimny questions just to weed out a bunch of them because, oh man, it was overwhelming. So, anyway, here we are on the Podomatic, and the number is 37. And if I get my list, which I already have open.
Hey, for once.
I know. Is that
not
crazy?
Look at
you go. We will see that this is, in fact, a question from Ronster. And Ron says, if everything you tasted had to taste the same, what taste would you want it to be?
That's a good question.
Alfredo? That's Jacob is over there whispering Alfredo as if he's afraid to be caught on the mic.
You can talk.
Yeah, you know, I think grilled cheese.
Really?
Yep. If I had to have one flavor for the rest of my life, it would probably be grilled cheese.
Now.
But again, here's the thing, is whatever flavor it is, after a while you're just not going to taste it because everything tastes the same. So I think no matter what flavor you choose, ultimately the end result is the same, is you simply just can't taste anything.
The flavor I choose, will everyone taste this for everything?
It says, if everything you tasted, it's just you.
Alright.
Oh, wait, or wait, what if I picked something that I don't like? If everything tasted like, let's say, broccoli. I don't like broccoli. Then, would I lose more weight because everything tastes nasty to me? I mean, it's a weight loss trick that, again, eventually my mind would get over that and I wouldn't taste it anymore. So it'd be a temporary weight loss trick. In exchange for never enjoying food ever again. Ugh, that's a tough one. Now I'll go back to grilled cheese.
I'd make everything taste like couch.
Really?
Yeah.
Because?
Have you ever tasted a couch?
No. Oh, God, you know what, though? Darn it, I forgot a fingertips. I got so busy talking about Eli's teeth, I forgot to mention Godot. Because last time, someone asked on Listener Betrayal to tell me a cute pet story or tell me something cute about our pets. And Godot, I kind of gave a half-hearted support of Godot. But I'm telling you, the other morning, I was the only one awake. And he came in demanding love from me, like forcing his head into my hand so that I would scratch him. And he's been a lot more friendly towards me lately. I really like Godot the cat. He is awesome. So this is Jacob's cat that he has brought into our house. And I finally warmed up to him so that, I've always liked Godot, But, you know, I mean, he's a cat. But now, Godot is so sweet. I really like him. I mean, he's still a teenage cat. Mm-hmm. And so he's still more active than the other cats, and he's still able to get into more trouble than anybody else. But, he's a sweetheart. He's a good boy.
He still pisses on our things.
Yeah, but he's only done that like 3 times now. So it's getting better. And it's mostly, he mostly only pees on Jacob's things, which is, I think, very considerate of him. So I think it's just because Jacob pisses him off. But,
it's only because Jacob pisses on his things.
That's right. It's because Jacob does that himself. And it turns out that, for those of you who are wondering, we think the reason he does it, one, he's a young adolescent cat and, he's marking and that's going to be really tough to work out of him. But, you know, in the month and a half he's lived here, he's done it the 3 times. And every time I think he was trying to send a message to Jacob, either about feeling crowded or about, he wanted his own litter box set up instead of having to share with the other cats, or it was stuff like that. And so he hasn't done it in a while. I mean, I'm sure it's going to happen again, and then we just have to be ready to find it and clean it up. But, he's still a good cat. You know what? I'm willing to forgive him for all of that. And also, oh man, all right, I know we're supposed to be in the Pot-O-Matic here, but as long as I'm talking about cats, oh my god, I have never had a pet have a problem with fireworks before. I mean, I remember when I was a kid. Yeah, everybody laugh. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I remember the dogs would hide under the bed whenever fireworks went off. 4th of July was always terrible. Our dogs don't seem to care that much. Our cats have never seemed to care that much. Last night, the fireworks around town were so bad that Raven was, she didn't want to come out from under the bed. She was freaking out. And then eventually she did come out, but she kept wandering in circles and meowing and trying to go hide in one corner of our room. And it turns out that the reason she was doing that is because she really needed to use the litter box, but she was scared to leave our room to go get to the litter box because every time she moved, the house would shake and fireworks would go off and, you know, somewhere a block over from us. And it was freaking her out. And so Lisa, being the kind woman that she is, picks Raven up, brings her up on the bed, and she's like, oh, it's gonna be all right, baby. She's trying to comfort her. And, eventually.
Raven just poops everywhere.
Eventually, Raven couldn't hold it anymore and just sprayed shit all over. Oh my god. Now, here's the thing. Me and Jacob were out of the house at the moment running an errand, at 10 o'clock at night. And so we weren't there for the poop explosion. And, you know, to their mistake, it's like the cat is shitting all over, mostly on my wife's comforter. And so therefore she's like yelling for Eli to hurry up, get in here. And so Eli comes in and grabs the cat to take her out, which was a huge mistake because now he's just spraying and trailing crap. But by the time we got home, it turns out it landed almost entirely,
on mom's blanket.
On mom's comforter. And apparently in a Tupperware dish that was sitting on the floor. Just a lone Tupperware dish sitting on the floor next to the garbage can.
Raven apparently has incredible aim.
And a big old chunk, just boom, then there. And so by the time Jacob and I got home, it took us about 15 minutes. Like, she calls us in a panic that oh my god, it's everywhere. I can't believe it. Okay.
It's in my raccoon wounds.
It's in my raccoon wounds. And so by the time we got home, 15, 20 minutes later, like, we walked in, I was expecting, you know, a war zone, and we got inside, and like, you couldn't even smell anything. I'm like, I can't smell anything. What? She's like, yeah, we cleaned it all up. Like, she got the whole comforter out.
You could have been lying to
you. She cleaned the comforter off, got the major pieces cleaned off of it, got the whole thing put into the wash, had it, I mean, like, everything was cleaned up. I'm like, that is amazing. She's like, yeah, it was her and Eli doing it, both of them gagging the entire time. Like, no, clean it up. Because they both have really sensitive stomachs. But they got it done. Oh shoot. Should I have had some sort of trigger warning on the beginning of this? I feel bad. But anyway, it doesn't make me love Raven any less. She's still a very sweet cat. She just really doesn't like fireworks. So anyway, okay, those are the cat stories. Now let's go back to Pot-O-Matic.
65.
This will be a question for you, I'm sure.
Far away, dude.
65 is from Phoebe, and she says, have you ever joined games on Roll20 with people you didn't know beforehand? And if so, how did that go?
No.
No.
I'm working on it.
I've never joined a Roll20 game with people that I didn't. You are working on it, Jake?
That I've just met
online. All right. They do. I don't know if you guys can hear Jacob from over there, but yeah, he's trying to set up something, and he's trying to set it up with people that he's meeting online. And yes, they do have some sort of forums over there where you can do a looking for players or looking for.
Okay,
cool. All right, he's trying. Very rarely have I ever played with strangers. The one time I tried playing a game online with strangers, it was and this was 20 years ago, I played an email paranoia game with strangers, and it was terrible. It was just absolutely terrible. Look, at the point that I joined that one, I just wanted to try playing, because I have run paranoia email games myself.
Did the internet even exist 20 years ago?
Yeah. It was quite active. Just very slow. And I've been running paranoia email games myself for 25 years. I've been doing this for a long time. And it is, 25 is, that's about right. Maybe a little longer. And I've gotten really good at them. I really enjoy running the paranoia email games. I have a very specific style for it. I have a way to compile things so that I have a single unified narrative, but then I can also break that narrative out so each individual only sees what they need to see, and I love doing that. And so to play with somebody else, they just weren't very good players, and B, there was no way to... They weren't keeping things secret. How do you... It was like you're running some things so that your posts are just out in public. And I'm like, how do you... You can't really run paranoia that way. You can't just run paranoia like a regular role-playing game with occasional secret stuff in the background. It's like, it's all secret. It's at least in my mind. And this thing was just terrible. I did not enjoy it, and I got maybe 7 moves in, and I just bailed on it because I could just see that it was going nowhere. Uh-huh. But that's just me. So. Oh! That didn't actually roll. I just... There we go.
Apparently, you can activate the sound without rolling the die.
Apparently. 82. 82 comes from Walrus. And it says, "Die, traitor!" I assume he asked a question about paranoia, and then "die, traitor" would have been the last line at the end. But if he separated it from the others with space, then when I put it in the list, it would have just automatically found its own spot on the list as a separate paragraph. So I will do that immediately after the recording. I appreciate your sentiments.
I'm actually busy, and I'm going to need to find a different day to die.
That is a great title for a James Bond movie.
A Different Day to Die.
I'm ready. Ooh, double aught.
Woo, that's a hunted.
That is a hunted.
Hunted band.
This one's from Ronster. You have won a cruise for you and your wife. Will it be Caribbean, Hawaiian, Alaskan, or Mediterranean in nature?
Tundra. Going to the South Pole.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be cool. I don't think they run those.
No, really, Alaska, though.
Yeah, Alaskan cruise, clearly. By the way, I had a dream not 2 nights ago.
Okay, then when was it? It wasn't 2 nights ago.
I had a dream 2 nights ago.
That someday...
That I was standing up at your wedding and offering a toast.
Who was I marrying?
You really want me to say out loud?
I want you to say out loud who I was marrying in your dream.
Okay, okay, hold on.
Choose your words carefully.
It's weird because it's like you guys are just friends, but for some reason, I had a dream that you were marrying Emily.
Okay, wait, hold on. Why do you feel like your dream has any weight on the real world?
Because I don't want to, I don't know, I don't want to be...
Subconscious going crazy.
Anyway, you were marrying Emily in this dream. Hi, Emily. And I stood up and I gave a toast, and I'm just telling you, it was the best goddamn toast ever. I was amazing and eloquent, and I remember most of it.
You didn't even need to put butter and jam on it. It was perfect
Exactly. Exactly. Perfect toast. Thank you, Noah. No butter, no jam, no cream cheese, nothing. And my point is, this was an amazing toast that if you ever marry Emily if that happens, I have this in my back pocket. It's already written. I don't have to come up with it. You marry anybody else, I am going to have to really, really get to work to try and match that up. But
I want you to know that I've disowned you.
What? Perfect toast?
You made the joke. My first reaction was, that's so stupid. That's so dumb. And I just start laughing.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys can hear Jacob. Jacob has been unable to stop laughing since Noah's toast joke. So, what? You're done talking about it?
Oh, was there more?
No. Wasn't. 41. Number 41 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, do Bear and Raven have middle names? No.
Wait, yeah, Bear does.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He has a full name, which is Bugbear.
But... that's true. His whole name is Bugbear. Bugbear Jones. And we just call him Bear. Raven also
is
does
Ravenclaw.
Not...
Ravenclaw.
Again, yeah, whole name, Ravenclaw. But again, it's just a nickname, Raven. But both of those are because they came with the names Bear and Raven from the pound. I mean, when we picked them up at the shelters, that was the names that were on their cages. And I know that those are just random names assigned by the people
Bear
that are there.
Was owned by someone before us.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Even if Bear was owned by someone before the shelter got him, the shelter just makes up names and slaps them on the label. But Bear... the name was so fitting for him that we went ahead and kept
it. He's just a big cat.
And then when we found Raven, she's an all-black cat, so Raven suits her. And
now we have two cats named after animals.
Right, and
cats.
We just thought the idea that we had two cats named after non-cat animals seemed kind of cute, so we kept them. We just modified them a little bit, but they don't actually have middle names, but they do have full names. So if they don't have middle names, how do you yell at them when they're naughty kitties? Or you need to get them off the thrice-damned counters. All right.
We just say their names just a little louder.
Yeah. And fortunately, we don't have to yell at them a whole lot. I mean, Bear is just a good cat. He doesn't need yelling at because Bear is awesome. And Raven is just in hiding most of the time. Although, again, every time I talk to you guys, The hiding gets better. She's coming out a lot more lately. She's been much more friendly and...
now she's even comfortable enough to poop.
That's right. Now she's even comfortable enough to poop all over my wife. So she's bitter about that. She's weird. Godot? Yeah, we still have to yell at Godot every once in a while. But does Godot have a middle name? Jacob?
Huh?
Does Godot have a middle name?
Justice.
What? His middle name is Justice. I thought it was Danger. So, anyway. 60. 60 comes from... Ronster again. All right. Good. We need to start evening out these Ronster ones. What conspiracy theory have you entertained, even for just a little bit?
Okay. Have you ever heard of Moon Truthers?
Depends on which moon truther you want. What, moon landing?
No. That the moon is just a projection by the government.
No.
Yeah.
And you believed that?
I believe it now.
You do not.
There is no moon.
You do not for a second
there
believe
that. There is no chance that a giant ball of rock can spin around our planet. Gravity's just a myth.
I've told this story before. And when I was in college, before I was familiar with the logic and tactics of conspiracy theories, I saw a documentary that said Elvis Presley was still alive. And here was all of the evidence mounted. And afterwards, I believed for the next few days that Elvis Presley might actually still be alive. Like, dude, I... And then I presented that to my brother, who then... made fun of me incessantly for it, and then I realized, oh yeah, I'm kind of an idiot.
Made fun of you for what? Sorry, Ed.
Believing Elvis Presley was alive based on a documentary I saw back in college.
Oh.
So.
You can also crack Shaq's films with Moon Truthers.
Oh. Yeah, Moon. No, seriously. Ever had a conspiracy theory you actually believed?
No.
All right. Yeah, he's way too smart. He's way too smart for that. So, Jacob's got one, though. Yeah, Jacob's story is a coworker of his who, otherwise completely normal, completely rational human being, seems perfectly fine, except is convinced that, 9/11's really fishy. Clearly the government's covering that one up. Clearly.
You can't melt steel beams.
Yeah, exactly. And that always leads me back to, and this is the point Jacob was making, is it leads me back to the idea that, yeah, everyone in the world universally agrees that the government is too incompetent to run the post office or the DMV or Amtrak correctly, and yet somehow, when it comes to framing OJ, we can get thousands of people all on board, all telling the exact same story, and nobody leaks, nobody screws up, that suddenly the government is a master of conspiracies when it's something huge, and yet, again, can't get you your driver's license in a timely fashion. So, which, by the way, isn't true. My DMV actually works pretty quick. I very rarely have had any serious waits while I'm down there. I don't know about the rest of you.
Oh, dude, I don't know about you, but I always pump iron when I'm down there. Some serious waits.
Oh, good Lord. And perfect toast? That is, by the way, the name of this episode, Noah. Yay. This episode is Perfect Toast. 07.
07 is from James Bond.
07 is from Ronster. It says, what is the most important thing? Look, you're funny, but you're no Noah. That's what I'm saying.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. What is the most important thing you have learned from your grandparents?
If cards are too slick, rub some peanut butter on them.
Oh my God, yes! That was my grandfather. That was my mom's dad. He always said, these cards are too slick. Go get some peanut butter. He was a very funny man. From my dad's dad, I learned, son, Rome wasn't built in a day. It actually took 2 days. He was a jokester like that. So there you go. That's what I learned. How about you? Come on, your grandfathers are still alive. They might even listen to this. Come on, what could you? Come on, what have you learned? What have you learned from my dad? What have you learned from Popo?
Aiden, I swear to God, you put your fingers in my ass one more time.
Oh my God, that sounds just like him.
Now I'm a VCR.
Now this is look, my. There's a long history of this, and he deserves that because. My dad used to have to carry a radio with him when he was, I can't remember which base we were on or what his position was, but he was one of the guys, he had to have a radio with him at all times so that if an emergency happens, he's got radio contact. Maybe when they were in Japan. And I just remember my mom and dad walking through the store on base. It was either at the commissary or at the base exchange or something like that. And I remember my mom yelling loudly at him in public, Larry, I swear to God, if you stick that radio in my ass one more time, so, because, yes, it was loud and it was embarrassing, but that's the only way to make him stop, because, well, you've got a radio with a big old antenna on, of course you're going to poke people in the ass with it, that's what it's for, so, alright,
no,
that's not, yeah, I mean, okay. That's right. What else would you use it for?
you get better reception through my grandma.
How dare you?
For 49.
That's the name of my new band.
Reception through my grandma.
49 is from Ronster. And Ronster says, Zachusophobia. It says Zachus. I'm not making that up.
Is that a Pokemon? Is that the new Gen 9?
Probably. Choose a phobia you wish for yourself, and then one for your arch enemy.
I would choose the fear of clouds, and for my enemy, the fear of the fear of clouds.
Ooh. But, okay, fear of clouds, then does that mean you can never fly?
Well, no, they just...
Does that mean you go into a panic mode when you have to walk outside on anything but a clear day?
They just make me really nervous.
Well, it's a phobia. It should be an irrational fear. Hopefully, right. An irrational crippling fear. I mean...
I choose the fear of bridges.
You already have that, and it's stupid.
How dare you?
How about... Oh, I was so hoping you guys would come down for family night for camp this year, because there's a staircase that goes up to the back of the training post, and the staircase is just made of metal grills, so you can see through, and it like goes way up. So as you walk up these stairs, you can just see all the way through the ground. I thought that would be so awesome for Aiden to climb up with me, like wouldn't even say anything until we're halfway up, and well, you probably wouldn't have gone. But all right, if I had to pick a phobia for me, I would choose, for example, a fear of moon rocks, or something that I am unlikely to ever encounter.
A fear of David Hasselhoff.
And then for my archenemy, a crippling fear of me, which is essentially what Aiden was saying. So we're on the same page. 67.
So close.
67 is from... It's from Ronster again. Wow, he is making up for lost time here. Ronster, if you could pay for a speeding pass so that you could speed without getting a ticket, would you?
Depends how much it is.
Well, I don't know. Let's assume the average speeding ticket around here is going to cost you, $150 to $200. Because our speeding tickets are expensive. But let's say it's $100 to $200 for a regular speeding ticket. And let's say you could buy a speeding pass for $500.
And that for life?
Yeah, you know, let's say for several years at least. Would you be willing to pay that and not get any tickets?
Does everyone get this? Because that sounds kind of dangerous.
Right. See, that's the problem is that then you...
Does it become Fury Road?
If it's just for you, then you have the right to speed whenever you want, and you trust you to be a responsible driver. But if everyone could suddenly buy one of these passes, that would be terrifying. Well, let's see. Hold on. If it meant you would have a designated lane, would you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, sure.
What, an express lane? Where you can drive as fast as you want?
Would a high-speed-only lane make the roads less safe for the other drivers? Of course it would. Because increased speed makes driving less safe. That's just a fact of logic and physics, is that the faster you're going, the less time you have to react to stuff, and the more damage you're going to do if something screws up. So therefore, by definition, if you are going faster, you are less safe. And if that high-speed-only lane, unless it's separated by impenetrable concrete walls from the rest of the lanes... then it's absolutely going to make the driving unsafe, more unsafe for others because of the chance that a horrible, unsafe accident is going to happen and spill out across lanes. I mean, yeah, it would absolutely... I don't think I would take it. One, I'm a cheapskate, and I figure that, look, I'd rather just obey the law and not pay any speeding tickets at all rather than pay extra for the convenience of getting there, you know, a minute and a half faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in general, unless you're traveling... cross country, you know, unless you're traveling hundreds of miles, that, you know, being able to drive an extra 10 miles over the limit isn't going to get you there that much faster in most cases. It really doesn't.
Yeah, but just the way traffic works. No speeding tickets. No one said you had to stop at 10 miles over.
Well, no, I grant that, but then again, it also makes me really worried that I'm getting into really unsafe territory too, because I'm not that great a driver. I'm really not.
37,
dudes.
No.
What? I can't say dudes?
No.
What? I thought it was for any number, right?
No.
I don't know the rules.
You reserved dude.
Oh, we already did 37. How about 59?
Oh, so close. One number off.
59 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, okay, dice are so cheap now. Please give a public service announcement to your listeners. You can get 5 sets of polyhedral dice, including 2 tens in each set, with a little cloth bag, for $10 on Amazon, with free shipping. I know we want to support our local gaming stores, but dice cost $7 to $10 for one set at a game store. I can't support that. Yeah, I've now bought twice. I've bought packs like that, where I think the last one was I got 14 sets of dice, and grand total, I think I paid, $15 for the whole thing, and it was, it's phenomenal. Like, I have this huge, the 14 sets of dice in different colors. I had a whole range of solid colors and a whole range of crystal colors, and they were all dirt cheap, and they all came with their own individual cloth bags to put them in. And so, literally, when I'm somewhere and someone needs a set of dice, I go, oh, yeah, here, hold on. And I just hand them a set of dice. And often, especially if there's someone who's new to gaming, I just say, no, keep them. That's fine. Because, when it costs me like $1.50 for a pack of dice, I'm providing a public service there, man. I'm completely with you. I completely understand. And yes, the last time I've bought dice sets at the local gaming store, yeah, they're expensive. When I buy them at Gen Con, because I tend to buy dice sets for my kids every time I go to Gen Con, and they always get a new dice set, but they're pricey. They cost a lot. So I'm totally with you, dude. How long do we keep going with this, by the way?
I have to believe at 4, so.
You have to believe at 4? What do you have to believe?
That the moon isn't real.
The moon's a projection? Ronster, he says, this is number 4, Ronster, ugliest and prettiest colors for cars. The prettiest color for a car would be mine. It's a metallic avocado green, kind of a pale green, and it's very pretty. That's the prettiest color. The ugliest color is General Lee orange. That is just terrible. Now look, there are some orange and rust color cars nowadays that are really good, but back in the day, when orange was just this flat, matte, gross orange on a car, those were ugly bastards. So, in my opinion. How about you?
No, I fully agree, except your color's gross.
My color is awesome.
Your car color is
my
gross.
My car is the best. Oh my god. It's
free.
It's green. It's a pale green with it's priced slightly on the yellow side. So it's sort of a sunny green. And it's metallic. And, it is hail pitted, so it was free. So awesome. 72 people. You're right. I like the rhythm of that.
Yeah.
I could do that all day now. You've convinced me. I'm hooked. This is also from Ronster. How many varieties of hamburger have you tried? Any varieties you'd like to share? What varieties of hamburger are you talking? I mean, what, 90% versus 73? Angus versus Kobe beef? I mean, although if you're taking your Kobe beef and grinding it up into hamburger, you're not doing it right. Kobe?
Angus versus my friend Dale? I don't...
Yeah. Or are you talking about just different types of hamburgers, like hamburgers from different places made with a variety of ingredients, made with, I don't know. How many varieties of hamburger have you tried? Look, it depending on how you're asking this question, if you're talking about types or grades of beef, then I have no clue. If you're talking about just what do I like on a hamburger, I've tried millions of hamburgers, but the best hamburgers are the ones with a fried egg on them.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I also just recently saw a hamburger with peanut butter sauce, and I'm going to try that next time I have hamburgers at home. I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I'm going to try it. And when we go to Canada, Canadian McDonald's has a hamburger with fried eggs on it. Man, you can't go wrong with that. The idea of doing a hamburger with, specifically, you can't do just the peanut butter sauce. It has to be peanut butter and bacon. Because peanut butter and bacon were just made for each other. So a peanut butter and bacon burger? Yeah, I'm definitely going to try that out, but we'll see. But I don't know if that's the question you're asking, Ron. You may have to clarify for me. But, oh, good Lord. All right, well, that's the last one now.
67.
We're done. 67. I think we've done 67. Yep. 50. This is why we eventually stop, is because we get too many duplicates. 50 is from Kaz. Hey, I'm so glad we did this one, because... Oh, wait, no, that's 56. Oh, it's not from Kaz.
It's from Zimny.
It's from Zimny, who is... they're interchangeable. It's hard to tell the difference. If you put Kaz and Zimny side by side, they're like twins. So...
is that a joke?
Except, yeah, well, one is a slight Swede, and the other one is a big, beefy Wisconsiner. So,
what's the difference, really?
They're like twins. So, Zimny says, what is your favorite secret entrance to a hidden lair? All right. Now, clearly, my favorite is the troll's hidden lair that has a secret handle that you have to pull, and when you pull the handle, a guillotine comes down and chops your hand off. So thus, if you're a troll, that's fine, you just grow a new hand. If you're not a troll, you gotta lose a hand to get in there. So, that's my favorite.
My favorite is the false volcano top where you just lower a helicopter down in it.
Very nice. Yes. I don't mind any of those secret agent fake storefront things where you go in, like the Kingsmen have the shop with the high-end men's accessories, and then it turns around and all of a sudden you're in the room full of weapons. You go into Archer and it's a Chinese laundry, but behind the laundry, you know, you go through the dryer thing and there's an entrance to your spy offices up on the umpteenth floor. Or even Breaking Bad went through a laundry to get to theirs, where the gigantic drying machine slides away on the floor and there's a hidden staircase that leads down to their meth making lab. I enjoy that. I like having a nondescript business that no one would think twice about, and then you go in and then somewhere in there is the secret entrance to your magical lair. I think that's awesome. But you got anything more?
No.
Alright, we are all done with
56.
Oh no, 56 is Kaz! How about that? That's the one we... I can't believe you just rolled that. That is amazing. That is, look, people, I'm not making this up. He really did. 56. All right. What new trend do you see taking root by 2020?
Hoverboards and automatically tying shoelaces.
Yeah. The double necktie.
DeLoreans will come back.
DeLoreans. Yeah, I got nothing. I wanna say something political that takes into account the recent Supreme Court news and the change and that's all too depressing. I'm not even gonna get into that. We'll go with hoverboards and double ties. So, alright, now we're done. Sure, we gotta be done, dude. We really, stop. 92.
Sorry, it was 56 again.
92 is from Mime Killer. That is weird.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
I didn't think he was allowed in here. Mime Killer says, who would you cast in a reboot of Family Matters?
And that's why you're not allowed in here.
now, hold on. In a reboot of Family Matters, all right, in a controversial move, I would, A, reverse the genders on every character. All right, so it's the mom who's a cop. All right, Urkel's going to be some female character who's in love with the son of the family, the blah, 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 blah. And make them all white. There. That'll be controversial, right? All right, I got nothing else. I'm done. I never watched Family Matters. I know nothing about it.
I was going to make a joke, like, what, you're going to make them all white now?
Yes, yes, I was going to make them all white. That's,
you went right for it.
Yeah, I got nothing on Family Matters, but... I'm sorry, did you want to contribute?
No, you handled it perfect.
I gave exactly the answer you would have given? Yeah. All right, cool. All right, then it's time for GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018. God, I finally caught
up to you. We're halfway through!
I know, 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Krunk. The problem is if I change it now, I never remember that it needs to be changed until I'm in the middle of an episode, if I change it here, it just changes it for this episode's show notes. It doesn't change it on the master list. And I just never change it. It's like, I want to fix the leak in the roof, but I can't fix it while it's raining. And when it's not raining, it's not leaking, so I don't think about it. See? We don't actually have a leak in our roof. It's an old joke. My bumper music this week
is broken. It's just in a box over here.
But it's in a box in the kitchen, the new garbage disposal. My bumper music this week is Weezer's In the Garage and Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. And write us a nice review because those things make a difference. Well, we don't care about the review. Give us 5 stars. That makes a difference. If you want to do something super nice for us, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic, like my brother did this week. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me, like my brother did, and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. We'll sign up there, send me a message, we'll hang out together, and become best friends in the world.
We'll have fun.
Now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums, I go out to Facebook, Aiden goes over to his platinum member list, and we send out notes that say, hey, we are recording. Anything you want to add to the podcast, this is the time to do it. So here we are, reading them off right here at the end of the cast. So we're going to start off on Facebook, and on Facebook I have a response from Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Do you even listen to this podcast? That's awesome. I didn't know that. You are so cool. Good to see you here. Kevin says, I first posted up and said, we're recording episode 235, post here to join in. Tell us what you had for breakfast. And Kevin says, I had a breakfast pizza in the Las Vegas airport with 2 sunny side up eggs on top. It was super good. God, that sounds great. I love breakfast pizza. And B, as I've already mentioned with hamburgers, you can put eggs on top of anything. That's great. What are you doing in the Las Vegas airport, dude? I assume smuggling reptiles into the country, but I don't really know that, but I just know that Kevin likes snakes and reptiles. Snakes, particularly reptiles in general. He's very passionate. So, anyway, hey, good to see you on the podcast, man. I hope you come back around. That's awesome. The next one is from Ron, and Ron says, I had 2 fried eggs and some kielbasa. Oh, I love kielbasa. Courtesy of my wife being in Pensacola at the Naval Air Station to drop off my youngest daughter for the National Flight Academy. Oh, good deal. Congratulations. That is really awesome. Sadly, she will be there for her sweet 16, and as a father of boys, is 16 a big deal like it is for girls? Yeah, because 16 is, you know, the ability to drive. 16 is roughly the age that they should be starting to date, but depending on their situation, sometimes it's a little sooner than that or whatever. But yeah, 16 is a big deal. They feel, at least I think you can speak more to it than I can because you've been 16 more recently than I have. I mean, was 16 a big deal for you? Did it like suddenly, at the time, did it make you feel like an adult? Did it make you feel like?
I have not felt any different since 2012.
2012 was 6 years ago, so that's when you were 14?
Yeah.
So 14 was the only big birthday for you?
It wasn't a big birthday, it's just that there's no point in keeping track. Life will keep going whether you want it to or not.
All right, Aiden's nihilism aside, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, Jacob, was your 16th birthday a big deal? All right, apparently no. Apparently they don't give a crap. They don't understand what the big deal is. So, yes, completely different for you guys. There you go. Next up is Patrick. And Pat says, for breakfast, he had, oh, that's right. That's right. When you're 16, you get to
No, I don't.
Shut up. Shut up. When you're 16 is when you get to go to Gen Con for the first time. Unless Gen Con happens to be during the school year, in which case you kind of got screwed out of it. But you got to go at 17. Was 17 good for you because of that?
Sure.
Whatever. All right, you liars. All right. Pat says for breakfast he had iced coffee with not enough sugar, chocolate, peanut butter, and a coconut-covered pretzel, coffee cake muffin. All right, wow. That is a complete breakfast of champions.
He has to feed his beard.
And then, what's the last book or periodical you finished reading? I just finished reading the Kamaputra, 52 Mind-Blowing Ways to Poop.
Can I borrow that from you sometime, Pat?
The Kamaputra. That's really funny. That's because on the forums, that's what I asked was what's the last book everybody read. So how prescient that you would ask that here. And the last book that I finished reading was the first 15 Lives of Harry August, which I talked about last week, and you probably haven't heard that one yet. But that was the last book I read, finished reading. I am currently reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I have new Percy Jackson series books that I'm thinking about reading.
Because
Noah's been reading them all, and he's encouraging me. But also, there's a book that my wife is reading right now called Janitors, and it's a kid's book about magical janitors. I'm wanting to read that one too, but I'm letting her finish it first so I can see how good it is and, you know, get her copy. So we'll see. But the first 15 Lives of Harry August by Claire North, that was the last book I finished. So it was good. How about you, Aiden?
Book 3 of Full Metal Alchemist.
All right. That's right. You're reading Full Metal Alchemist. Very cool. That is it for Facebook. Let's head on over to my forums. Jacob, what's the last book you finished reading? What's the last book you finished reading?
I finished a book.
Ah, he doesn't finish books, apparently. He's a loser. What about you, Noah?
I have no idea.
He finishes too many books to remember.
Yeah, he reads a lot. So, all right, fine. We'll go over to my forums. And over here I said we're recording early in the day. I've got Aiden here, plus my other sons are close enough to ask stuff. What's the most recent book you've read, and would you recommend it? Eliahad, Dave, he says, I just reread Reaper Man by Terry Pratchett. It's one of the Discworld books about death. I would recommend it, but probably not as the first Discworld book to read. Equal Rights is probably a good choice in that regard. All right, cool. Are you a Terry Pratchett fan or a Neil Gaiman fan? I've read a lot of Gaiman. I have not read any Terry Pratchett. I don't think. Oh, no. I read Good Omens. That was Pratchett, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was. Have you read either Gaiman or Pratchett?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, so Aiden's not participating in that one, but I'm pretty sure. Let me look up Good Omens. And just to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. Good Omens is... Why does it not say... Good Omens, and I just say... There we go. Nope. Oh, it's a collaboration. Darn it. Oh, no. Executive. All right, hold on. I'm sorry to be doing this to you. It's terrible radio as I go look for stuff like this. Oh, haha! How about that? It's a collaboration between Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. So there you go. Man, good on me. So the only Terry Pratchett book I've read is also a Neil Gaiman book. So that'll kind of tell you where I'm at. He says, I'm a Pratchett fan myself. I enjoy the writing style. It's kind of Douglas Adams meets fantasy. But he's also a feminist and a subtle humorist, except when he's hitting you over the head with a joke, and then he's pretty good at bludgeoning you. Death is one of his most nuanced characters. He, Death, is supposed to be emotionless, but somehow always treats his charges with respect and often humor. All right. Cool. You know what? I've always meant to read Discworld stuff. I've always meant to read Pratchett. So maybe this is my motivator that I'll launch into that. So I'll try. And if you have any better recommendations for where to start, I mean, I'll go with Equal Rights if that's where you think I should start in. But if you have any other suggestions, I'll listen to you. So next one is from Dave again. And Dave says, I'm sure you already talked about Godball since it's on your gaming table, but boy, do I want to hear your thoughts about our last game. It was awesome and will totally get everyone excited to play. Dude.
He just talked about his thoughts on the last game.
And here's the thing, is that I debated whether or not to bring up God Ball on the gaming table, because every time I bring up God Ball on the gaming table, you always ask me about it, and I think, oh, you know what, I should wait, and Dave will probably ask me about it in the Listener Betrayal segment, and then I can just do it organically there. But I was so excited about it, I couldn't take the risk that maybe you wouldn't be here to ask me about it. So I had to talk about it. So yeah, mountain surfing is the best. This is the way God should be interacting in this game. It was really, really awesome. So it was very cool. And Jacob just remembered the last thing that he read, which was a short story entitled, I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream. And apparently it is a horrifying story about a computer tasked with preserving humanity. And ultimately it does so by downloading all of humanity's consciousnesses into itself.
Conscious eye,
there you go. And keeps them all within itself, running them in Matrix-style simulations of reality, so that they are preserved. But, so now even though it is preserving humanity as per its original programming, the computer has become self-aware and has found that it takes pleasure in making humans suffer. And so, dark and twisted story. But he says he recommends it. He says it's actually really good and thought-provoking. So, okay. Very cool. Let's move on to...
Mike!
No, that's just me saying we're done.
Oh, no, I know.
Done! So now, last of all, none of our Platinum members responded, did they?
I have...
He has to count on his fingers. That's four. How slow he is. Four of them. All right, that'll do.
From Tim.
All right, Tim says?
Survivor show. The question is, pitch us a TV show.
Okay.
Survivor show, where five or six people all get stuck on an island, and no one speaks any other language of the other people.
Nice!
That would be really good.
That actually, I mean, that would be phenomenal. That would be absolutely phenomenal. I mean, like, look, if they can make a show out of Naked and Afraid, which really just sells itself on the word naked in the title.
Yeah.
This would be, a Tower of Babel style. That would be awesome. And the best part is, none of them share a language with any of the other people on the island or in whatever situation it is. But we get to run subtitles, so as viewers, we know what every one of them says and know that no one else understands them. God, that would be so entertaining. I would watch that.
All right, and John says nothing of value.
Wow. That's typical of John, though. He very rarely says anything of value.
I said, pitch us an original TV show, and he says, I don't know, man. Maybe you could convince me. Roll a persuasion check. I sent him a persuasion check. He's like, all right, I love you guys. I'm like, thanks.
That's not a TV show. Right. Unless he means that Nerd Pride Radio should be a TV show.
I don't think we have the faces for TV.
No. Although, by the way, for those of you following along, College Humor just released episode 6 of Actually, their game show. It was really good. So, I love that.
From Kyle!
Hey, Kyle!
And I say it like that because I put an exclamation mark next to his name in my phone.
Nice! Welcome to the Platinum List, Kyle.
A TV show starring you and your dad as a pair of identical father-son, like identical twins, but father and son. It exists. Google it. You and Mike are now auditioning for the role, which involves a lot of twin speak and finishing...
College?
Each other's sentences. He gives a pause so...
Oh! God, I'm so bad at this. Okay.
That's the pitch. Now let's hear your audition. God damn it.
Oh.
Well, you already failed with the...
College?
With the...
Finishing your sentences?
Thank you, God.
Okay. How about... I can't even come up with a good way to do this.
No.
I suck at this.
You know, we are not getting the part.
All I can think of is the Identical Cousins song from the Patty Duke show. So.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, Kyle. There's no good way for us to do this.
Ah, man, that's too bad.
Yeah, no, that would have been good. The last one's from Stephanie.
Wait. Hold on. I think I've got the hang of this now. This is how I should have done this. This is my trapping wits. I should. Okay. Go ahead and start a sentence. And it could be one you've already used. And then I will be finishing your sentences for you, so.
So there was a long time ago.
And I'm Aiden, and I'm stupid. See? That would be the. Oh, that's not what you were going to say?
The last one's from Stephanie.
Okay. It's funny to me. Stephanie says,
"Disaster strikes Atlantis, and the city rises, discovering the rest of the world."
Ooh. Okay. So the okay, no, and I can do this. I mean, look, it's just, hey, we've discovered Atlantis, and
no,
this, but
no, Atlantis discovers us,
right? But instead, it's from the point of view of the Atlanteans,
of whom they think the entire rest of the world is flooded,
right? Not bad. All right, I can go with that
one. Yeah.
I think that also is very plausible. So, cool. Yeah. Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
All right. Well, then we are all done. So, you guys are awesome. Oh, hi, Eli. How are your teeth?
Ow.
Eli says ow. Are they really ow, or are you just saying that for attention?
Attention.
Okay.
I'm an attention
whore. Yeah, he is. He'll do anything to get people to pay attention to him. You've seen how he tries to hog the mic whenever we're
goodbye,
recording.
Goodbye, everybody.
So, oh, I'm sorry. We have to be done now because you're done?
Well, I gotta go take a nap before work.
All right. You guys are awesome. Everyone say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight!
I love you guys. You're awesome. We'll see you next week. Bye.